Hello, good evening, and welcome back. It's In The Know, once again brought to you by The Racing Post. My name is Ross Briley, and, whoa, it's been easy today, hasn't it? Favourite, second favourite, favourite, 28 to 1 shot. Who'd have tipped that, eh? We'll find out in a second. Favourite, and of course, the Windsor Castle. Good to see it completely changed. 33, 66ers, 125 to 1, and a £97,907 tri-cast. Let us know in the chat if you got that up to a pound. And if you did, quite frankly, you shouldn't be in the chat. But we saw some incredible races. We saw an incredible performance once again from Ombudsman, who came back to defend his crown in the Prince of Wales. And my word, did he defend it. The race was run at a right old clip, and he loved every second of it. Ballydore won a two-year-old race. There you go. Who knew? Who knew they had the seven best juveniles in the country? Blue Bolt, we said last night, genuine Group 1 horse in a Group 2 race, and she proved it. And Limestone, Robbie Wilder's best bet last night, won the Queen's Vase so narrowly that I've never seen a man so angry at napping a winner as he threw things at the screen.
Because he needed a bit of magic from McGonagall, didn't it?
He needed some magic from McGonagall. There we go. What will we see tomorrow? Well, we'll find out. But let's rattle through today, because Keels, how do you... Oh, a 28-1 winner in a Royal Hunt Cup. That is... You must feel incredible.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I've had one winner out of 14 races, but it's 28-1. You don't need many at that price, especially when they're 40-odd on the machine. So, yeah, it was lovely. And it was even lovelier to see half of them go across to the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... They're all bonkers, aren't they? Like, you know, they see the Queen Mary gets one on the far side by an Aidan O'Brien horse that is probably a country mile better than everything in the race.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the second is probably also a country mile better than the others as well. And half of them have gone over there, and it just meant no traffic problems, and it was as straightforward a win as you could see, really, wasn't it? It was always going to win.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as
I didn't even shout. I was watching it on my phone on the train coming in. And I didn't even have a shout, and I've got no problem with doing that when I'm on a train.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but it just
wasn't won. Exciting.
I just started smiling.
Yeah. Look, Lionel Messi at the World Cup, Paul Keighley in Big Field Handicaps. It's, you know, it's just shelling peas, isn't it?
Nice to have it. I go many, many, many races without a winner, so it's nice to get one.
Yeah, it is indeed. And fresh from whispering about form study in my right ear, I can now hear him live and in person in my left ear. It's Mr. Keith Melrose.
Hello, Ross.
How are you doing?
That's all right, yeah.
I'm all right. How did you get the the two-year-old races trifecta in the last?
No, I did not get a trifecta in the last. No. I was on record as saying I'd reckon as Windsor Castle the next year or two is going to be a bit of a lottery, because you're going to get lots of maidens coming into it.
Yep.
The announcement to be sire restricted was made like 3 years ahead of when they'll actually be able to adapt to it. So I didn't foresee this particular shock, but I was willing to see a shock. This was a race that had avoided those. I think it only had maybe one 25s plus winner in the last decade before today. Now you've had a 33, 66s, 125 to 1 tri-cast, and it's because of the sire restrictions, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Figuring out what to run and whether it's worth aiming for the... It's going to take trainers a little while.
There's a few sires that are going to come through, like Cody Beer's eligible. Bayside Boy's probably going to become a bit of a sire for this race.
Yeah.
So just look for... There's going to be a few sires that are really key to this race in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I didn't quite notice, but the winner has both emboldened my fancy in the Chesham, and also one of your two... I can't remember, was it you that... One of you put up the... Well, we'll get to it. Someone else fancies one in the Chesham as well tomorrow. And the winner is both Frank the Form and also the pedigree, possibly, of another one tomorrow. But anyway, we're teasing you. But it was also nice as well, personally, to finally get that feeling again at Royal Ascot of absolutely bolting up in a race, but on the wrong side in that last as well. So
wouldn't be Royal Ascot without it, would it?
It wouldn't be Royal Ascot without it. It's that wonderful feeling of... It's just too hard, isn't it? it's just too hard.
Get sixth, the Royal Ascot story.
Absolutely. As for the rest of the feature races today, Keith, worthy winners, impressive performances. Again, Blue Bolt will clearly now step up to all those mile fillies and mares races throughout the season. And Ombudsman, I mean, crikey, he might make heavy weather at Sandown, but he's unbelievable everywhere else.
Oh, Ascot, he's just so good, isn't he? I don't think that was... We didn't see Darius today, I don't think. And I think the market was telling you that quite a way out, to be honest. He's been, you know, the week one for a good couple of days now. Yeah. Mini Hawk is so admirable. And I'll tell you one thing, and Robbie Ward has written a piece and sort of shooting back and forward ideas in the office, but Tom Siegel put up Mini Hawk and Darris to be 1-2 in the arc again at 66-1 in December. And after today, you're thinking, well, you know, we've still got 3-year-olds to get tested. You know, you've still got the Ribblesdale tomorrow. We've still got Water to Wine to run in the King Edward VII on Friday, a horse I really think could go to the top.
Yeah.
But most of them don't look a great bunch, do they?
No, exactly. No. So
far, you've got, I mean, maybe the Oaks winner, and that's...
That's it, really. That's yeah, it. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think anything's coming out the Derby to be arc class. So yeah. We're looking, you know, Tom might have got a 66-1 shot, because that was a proper performance from Ombudsman. I made it about 1.32 RPR. Just, you know, I'm...
Just back of the fact
back of the envelope. We all had a little chat around. Paul Curtis is the man. He'll have the real figure. But I made it about 1.32, which would make him potentially joint second best European horse since Frankel.
There you go. That's not a bad headline, is it?
He's a proper horse. Isn't he?
Really good horse. And it's so interesting to see him in Darris, because Darris, when he gets conditions that suits him, is every bit as good.
Yeah.
And Ombudsman, when he gets conditions that suits him, is it's just all about the way a race is run. I've never seen two horses meet each other reasonably, but one set of running a race suits one so well, and another race just suits the other.
Can I just say that, but based on yesterday's intervention after Gustard and Puerto Rico, are we expecting two bans in the Prince of Wales Stakes?
They didn't get in the way of anyone, did they? They didn't cause any trouble, did they?
They didn't. No, but if the wording is not ridden to suit your stablemate or not ridden to your horse, I think going off at 7,000 miles an hour.
Well, we either ban them all together, or you are going to end up with bans at every race.
No, but what I'm saying is, but that to me, those two words. Just as blatantly obvious.
Well, the egregious thing on Tuesday was yanking a horse's jaw to move out of the way of your stablemate. That was the really egregious thing.
Yeah, but you don't need getting in the way of something else.
Yeah, but you don't need to do that if you've gone 45 miles an hour or whatever.
Willie Carson's quotes was quite... He basically said Christoph made it too obvious.
Yeah.
that would probably sum up a jockey's view on that, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly. At least... creative about it. As for the Lee Richardson, four winners, few nice each way bets today. All in an Ombudsman turnout to be a good plan. Yeah, whoever said last night, they said, I'm not going to bother messing around with these impossible races. I'm just having my entire, everything I bet in every other race on Ombudsman and just enjoying the day.
It's how I can sometimes play the Wednesday at Royal Ascot. Like, I don't bet in many of the other races bar the Prince of Wales. And sometimes I would. I didn't see a bet in it today, so I didn't. But the
sort of, you said it, this just wins, doesn't it?
The complete opposite of me, though. And I've already been studying up for Friday, and I'm seeing four races with short bright favourites, and I think, I've only got three races to bet in.
Yeah. You're already you immediately close the tap, don't you? Anyway, are we having the, just to check, are we having the promo, or is Keith doing it live? Just got to check that. With the producers. All right, okay, great. Let's get a bit of Keith Melrose.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
There you go. That voice sounds familiar. It really does, doesn't it? But Keith, I appreciate you watching me through my office window and... Yeah, I mean, genuinely, like I said last night, it is nice that it is nice for someone else to do the work, you know. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, we've had all right. We called the ground early with the Edge this week. We basically said with the going description and the readings on Tuesday that it was faster than they were claiming good places Tuesday morning.
Yeah,
and the Edge was telling you, no, there's no good places out there.
There's no good places.
There's no good.
Yeah,
I was saying that after the Windsor Car. There's no good places out there.
There's no good places. Right. Okay. Let's crack on then. We are not even halfway through, of course, at Royal Ascot. So plenty of time for it to turn around, or turn back around, I guess. The Chesham Stakes kicks us off on day three, which is very confusing. Again, it's going to take my brain at least 3 or 4 years to not think, hang on a minute, I've slept through most of the week. But Aix La Chapelle is 7-4 favourite. Time for the Moon is 6-1. Sea Venture, 6-1. South Dakota, 7s. Aperol is 8-1. Nola Soul is 11s. Revels is 11-1. Pikachu is 20-1, and it is bigger prices. The rest, of course, 15 runners, but there's very rarely that many involved at, I don't know, even halfway in the Chesham the vast majority of the time. And you don't get many better pedigrees than the favourite, Mr. Paul Keighley. Mm. And it was almost as soon as this horse won and then was entered into this race, you just knew it was going to be a short price favourite.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Aidan O'Brien's renowned for a short price favourite in the 2-year-old race, isn't he? I mean, he's on, what, 99 winners now at Royal Ascot? Almost a third of them have been in juvenile races, and there's only, what, 5 or 6 of those?
Really?
You know, so yeah, 12 Coventry, 7 times he's won this race, had 30 runners in it overall. He has had 7 horses beaten at 9-4 or shorter as well. Yeah. In fact, if he backed all his horses this race, he'd have made a slight loss. But yeah, I mean, he's been remarkably weak in the betting because he was 5-4, you know, 5-4, 6-4, and he's now best priced at 2-1 in places.
There's only one way for him to go, I guess. He was
yeah,
short
I mean,
enough.
When it's sort of surprising in the fact that it's O'Brien and Moore, and they've already cleaned up in 2 of the best 2-year-old races so far, but not that surprising when you look at the form of his run, because it's actually no better than a lot of others in the race, is it? And that's the thing. He has to have a limit on his price, doesn't he?
Do you think, Bull Shark finished, what, 2nd last of the day? Mm. And I think if he'd have run okay,
yeah,
but maybe people think it, maybe they've looked at it again and thought, well, he's beaten
him. Yeah, but he hasn't beaten anything. He is a justified half brother to Henri Matisse, isn't he? And, you know, he was very green and he ended up being well on top at the end. But you could say that about a couple of them. I mean, I ended up leaving the race alone for tipping purposes in the paper because I, you know, it's 2nd year in a row, I've got fed up with guessing 2-year-old races and seeing them finish out the back of the telly. So I left it low. But the one I have backed one and I nearly tipped was Nola Soul of Fozzy Stacks.
Yep.
Now, it's very similar. The race he ran in on his debut, he was very, very green. He's come around the outside. He's beaten King of Clothen, who's won the... who's won the Windsor Castle today, and he was just getting the message late on, and I thought he won quite well. And Fozzy Stack has had just 3 runners since 2021, I think, in 2-year-old races. He's had a 4th, 3rd, and last year's secret adversary was 2nd in this.
Yep.
Like, you know, a 4th was like 40 or 50 to 1 in something like the Queen Mary, I think it was. Like, you know what I mean? So the few he sends here tend to run well. He's obviously another justified colt. He's got a similar pedigree to the Fav and similar form as well.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, so Nola Soul, very interesting for Stack and Heffernan. What do you make of the Cheshire, Mr. Melrose?
It's a race where, because O'Brien does this a lot, yes, he's had a lot of horses beaten this race. It tends to be horses that are bred for further than a mile next year, tries to get them out early enough to get a Royal Ascot win into them because it's a soft target, really, the Cheshire, as it often is. Basically, Time for the Moon is just the same, but trained by Charlie Johnson, I think. You know, very much See the Moon, Carabana. The Carabana is a dam of Durston and Cubanita, you know, proper middle distance pedigree, really good middle distance pedigree.
He's won this as well, isn't he?
Yeah. And it's just the sort of horse he's going to get out early. And he looked a right pro at Musselburgh when in that race. And yes, the form probably wasn't that great, but Heldobelder, that finished 2nd, was beaten 3/4 of a length in 2nd on their debut, and was beaten 7.5 lengths by this horse at Musselburgh. Mm. You know, the 7F track at Musselburgh, probably a nice little learning curve for a horse as well. Ben comes up quickly and all that, so he's going to be an absolute pro, which is half the battle in the Chesham sometimes. He's got a right middle distance pedigree, the sort that if O'Brien threw in a horse with that pedigree would be about 2-1, you know.
Yeah.
So I just thought Time for the Moon was an interesting enough horse, and, you know, flip the story around a little bit and he'd be an awful lot shorter.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. A couple possibly against the favourite then. My initial thought a few weeks ago was I was quite sweet on Revels.
Oof. I hear the form's a mixed bag.
Form is a mixed bag, yeah. Some of them couldn't run for toffee. But he was smashed off the board, like he couldn't get beat. And the time was fantastic. It was one of those first ones where, you know, because a lot of, these 7 furlong 2-year-old horses are a bit fiddly, they're a bit messy, they're a bit, like I said, there's not a lot in there. But I was like, crikey, okay, this horse can run. So he's very, very interesting. But I've started to come around slightly to South Dakota, who, I was saying, the last win at St. Mark's Basilica, before the Windsor Castle today, had 5 2-year-olds run at Ascot, 2 winners, 1 second in the Chesham, 1 fourth in the Queen Mary. So that's now 6 2-year-olds have run at Ascot, 3 winners, 1 second in the Chesham, 1 fourth in the Queen Mary. Only one of them has run badly, and that was a 100-to-1 shot. So again, the pedigree's absolutely spot on. And he's got a quirky pedigree, but I mean, they did nothing on him at the Curragh. They just didn't even, Jack Cleaver didn't move for 5.5 furlongs, and then he moved for 0.5 furlong, and he went past one horse. But he's just got a really interesting pedigree, and I don't know. I kept looking at him thinking, imagine what he could have done if he'd have been put in the race on debut. But why would you run here if there's not something to work with? Because they could have gone anywhere and won it. Yeah. 6-4, couldn't they? And then gone for a race later on. So, I don't know. He interested me a little bit.
Yeah, Apple won in a good time at Newbury. In fact, he's got the best top speed figure by a country mile.
Yeah.
Richard Hannon was very complimentary about her afterwards, boasting that he'd got 8-1 about a filly that went off 9-4.
Gayath with the 2, again, maybe a bit early for a Gayath, possibly.
Well, she looked professional enough at Newbury.
Yeah, true.
Fair. Well, in my head, that Gayath had an Ascot winner.
He's not had any winners. I think he's a 12 or... I think it's like 14 and without a win, yeah.
Right,
but
okay.
In my head, it's just not the right track for a big galloping Gayath, but I don't know. But you never know. Let's have a look. Apparently, Nola Sol's been very, very well backed into 4-1. And I've got still 11. It was 11-1 when I opened this page before we came on. So clearly, people have got all over that. All right. Okay. So you think Nola Sol was overpriced, but is no longer.
No, I don't think it's. I don't think it's not overpriced. I have backed it, but I just got fed up with backing horses that fall out the back of the telly in 2-year-old races. So I haven't tipped it in the paper.
Okay, and you're going for Time for the Moon.
Yes.
All right, and I'll go for South Dakota and Revels. Again, I assume that number 5 will be ridden out the back, and we'll attempt to catch them all. Right, okay, let's move on to the King George V Stakes. A mile and a half here for the 3-year-olds. And again, an absolute crackerjack of a race. One of my favourite things is going through the 3-year-old novices throughout the early season and picking off the ones that will likely line up for this. Into the Light is the 92 favourite here. Hazoom's been on my list for ages and then gets drawn in box 7, which I don't know, I don't particularly. Light, but we'll see. 7-1 Tierra del Toro, Can is 8-1, Al Hazard 8-1, Giulani 9-1, Enceladus 9-1, Believed is at 10. And to be fair, there are genuinely a lot of horses at bigger prices who could be very interesting, and a couple that's at double figure odds that the men to my left fancy as well. So I'm going to come to you first, Mr. Keith Melrose, because you've got a double figure one up your sleeve. So why don't you talk us up, Mr. Dylan Cunha's?
Yes, I will. I mean, I think Can's going to shorten up a little bit too, but, you know, he's emblematic of the race. These are horses that have got novice form. They're usually handicapped debutants. They're very well bred. They're drawn wide. Arcalelli's got all that as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's drawn in 20. He's got, it's a Kirsten Rousing pedigree that he's got. You know, it's bred for this trip and all over, but he was a book 1 yearling at Gough's Orby sale and went for €20,000, which suggests that maybe he's not very physically impressive or whatever, but he's walking the walk now. You know, he's run 4 times, and on his handicap, second run in handicaps at York, that is the race Merchant won last year before he came and won this. However, it doesn't show up in the form book as that because they downgraded at York. And I don't know why, because it was a great race, that race that Merchant won, but they've turned it from a 0-90 or a 0-95 into a 0-80. But he's running the race off 75, won it really well, decent enough time, really good looking bit of form, and he's been hit by £10 for it, but he deserves it. So he's got everything that a winner of this race would normally have, apart from the tip top connections. He's got the pedigree as well, you know.
Yeah.
But for that, he'd be quite a bit shorter, I think.
He's got the air of one of the Mark Johnston types that used to run in this.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's exactly the sort of horse that a Gosden would run in it as well, or, you know, anything like that. It's just because he was a relatively cheap yearling and a sort of a throwout from that operation, really, he's come in here maybe more under the radar than he ought to. He's done everything, and he's literally won the big trial. You know, he's what more can he have done? But it's because he's not got the right sort of set of silks, I think he's bigger than he deserves to be.
Yep, fair enough. Dylan Cooney's having a crack in you overall as well, though. Arco Le Ole made his debut on the 22nd of October at Newmarket last year, Keels, in a race that interests you a little bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely, because the winner of that race was Golden Knight, who ran in two maiden stroke novices last year and ran really, really well. First time out, close up fourth to Lost Boys, who won our London Gold Cup this year. The runner-up's rated 110 now. He then won this race. Now, this was one of these sire dam restricted races with the title of Future Stayers Novice Stakes, and he won it very easily from 33, who won at Sandown the other day. The third has won twice since. The fourth beat Hazoom quite easily in a maiden, and Hazoom 7-1. And, you know, for running in a Future Stayers race, he's had one race since, and it was in the Heron Stakes over a mile at Sandown. And it was just a case of Ed Walker, who's in fantastic form, obviously, needed to get a run into him. All right, now he goes up half a mile. He's a half-brother to a 1 mile, 6 furlong Group 2 winner, and a horse that won over 3 mile over hurdles. And he's just absolutely nailed on to improve for going up in trip. He's got stall 21. I can't believe he's 22-1. In fact, I've backed him shorter than that and backed him again since. And I keep having more because I think he's an absolutely mad price. I have also backed Tierra del Toro, though, because he went straight into my mind for this race after finishing third in the London Gold Cup. Connection said at the time that he was a mile and a half horse, and that's exactly what he looked like because he got badly outpaced. And if you stop it at the 2 furlong pole in the London Gold Cup, you think he's a candidate for last.
Yeah.
But he runs on again, and he's pulling away from the fourth to finish third, 2.5 lengths behind. He's going to improve for it. But at the prices, I'm ridiculously excited about Golden Knight. Just think it's a mad price.
All right, Golden Knight then for Ed Walker, and also Tierra del Toro for Rafe Beckett out of the Win and You're In, the Wathnam Silks handicap, as it will be now. First three home in the London Gold Cup get automatically bought by Wathnam from here on in. It's not a bad strategy, though, to be fair, is it? Because that race just everything. I mean, we've had one horse come out of it, Pearl River, and that one next time out at York. Beat Stoneacre Don, who was in the Arco Ole Ole race. So it's all...
It's just such a good race, that, every year.
Yeah.
It's yeah. And I wonder what it is about these middle-distance races we can't resist. Because you could... I'd find it easier to leave alone like a 7 furlong straight course race that was equivalent competitiveness as this. Because I've all got sexy pedigrees, it could win a derby.
I don't think I can... I'd quite happily smash into a 7 furlong handicap as well.
Yeah. I like it because it's... Like I said, they're the perfect sit of... You can get... When you're excited about Golden Knight... Mm. I'm not saying you can't get excited about a horse that's run 15, 20 times, but it's that little bit of like, I think this horse might have, might have 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds in hand.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the thing about a race like that is half of them are going to have 7, 8, 10 pounds in hand, aren't they?
True.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of horses coming here fancied, and it's which ones, but he's got a very low mark, I think, for Golden Knight, and it's based on form at a mile, and he just has to be miles better at a mile and a half.
Yep. Fair enough. Like I said, Hazing was automatic. I thought this horse is well handicapped. He'll really, really just step up in trip. He's been brought along slowly. And then drawn in box 7, which is frustrating. It's not insurmountable. I remember Godolphin won this a couple of years ago and they all kind of stuck Middleton.
Well, the mile and a half handicap on Friday has been won by a horse in single figures for the last 3 years, so it's doable. It's still an advantage to be on the outside, but it is doable. It's not can't win.
Yeah. And it does help. I mean, Safi Osborne's cracking booking as well, because again, she's riding. She had a couple at York, didn't she, where she was, she waited till the very last possible moment. She did everything right and picked them off down the home straight. And that's kind of probably what you want to do to win this race.
Yes.
But I do beat the other one, but I've kind of come around to Can slightly as well, because he's just beat very good horses.
Yes, exactly.
Who've come out and beat other good horses.
Yeah.
And it's Joseph O'Brien and the man, what did you call it again?
Professor McGonagall.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. For all you Potterites out there. Let's have a look. Okay. Philip Cadiz, I'm going to just call it. It's like Paul Keating, but one cannot claim a 28-1 winner when it was 22 at the time of the podcast. If it had gone off 12s, would have claimed 22s. That's not true because now
we're not allowed to tip at prices, so we have to get stuck with SP. So if I put something up 16-1 here and it wins at fours, I get fours.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it won at what it won at. I mean, you know, hopefully a lot of people still get best odds guaranteed. I don't know whether they do or not. I don't, on the vast majority of accounts, but...
And the problem is that the vast majority of the time, yeah, you're on the other side of it.
It won at 28-1. I backed it at 40-1. So I actually don't care what you think about what price I had it at. So let's move on.
There you go. Fair enough.
Take that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm pointing out the specifics of the way that the bets are recorded in the paper, and Keels is you know, just cracking on. Lovely stuff. Into the light. For Rob Dixon, I'll take a chance on Guildmaster, a bigger price if I top weight, says King of Moreland, and I hope Believed runs well. I would love Johnny Motor to have a winner at Royal Ascot. Kevin is already on Golden Knight as well, so there you go. That's the 3:05 over at Royal Ascot tomorrow. Sticking over a mile and a half then for the Ribblesdale, where Legacy Link comes back from her blinding run in the Oaks at Epsom, and he's 13-8, dropping down in grade here. Gilded Price 4-1. Earthshot is 11-2. Joanna Walsh is 15-2. Composing is 8-1. Dark Lucinda 16s. Lady Roycia is 20s. Golden Orbit is 25s. And you've also got Warrior's Whisper, Brilliant Star, Venetia, and Maldives in there. Again, a race that is traditionally passed between O'Brien and Gosden, and Gosden and O'Brien, and we've got a an Oaks runner-up in the Ribblesdale here, but it's that one box, Keels, that is giving me the frighteners here.
Is it? It doesn't bother me in a field that isn't massive, to be honest. Over that trip with a lot of no hopers, I think a lot of these will be well beaten half a mile out, won't they?
Possibly.
You know, and that wouldn't worry me. I mean, she's got the best form by some way to my eyes, obviously to everybody's eyes. She's 13-8 and yep, the next best is 4-1. It depends if she's over the Oaks. If she is, I think she'd probably win. She's by Dubawi, absolutely brilliant middle distances at Royal Ascot, isn't he?
Right. Yep.
You know, I think if you backed every Dubawi from 1-2 to 1-4 Fulham at Royal Ascot, you'd have made a 90% profit on investment, which is obviously ridiculous. You're not going to make much out of her 13-8, but I think she's got just loads going for her. Not my sort of race, to be honest.
No, fair enough. Magic One was the last horse to come from the Oaks and then win this, but they do have a fairly strong record. You'd have lost money back in them, obviously, but mm-hmm. 7 winners from 52 runners in the past 30 years, which isn't too bad in the grand scheme of things. But it's interesting. I mean, and it did do 10 Bob Tony, which harm did it, coming off the back of running in a bog at Epsom and then in a very different race the other day. So I think a lot of people, but they had a hard race in bad ground at Epsom. But these are lightly raced flat horses, not 3-mile chasers.
I'd say so. And the thing with 10 Bob Tony is that race was so ordinary, that Queen Anne, that the horse that was just banging form maybe had. That's the only thing I can do to explain that. You know, the horse that came in banging form just beat a bunch of horses that aren't actually that good as a Group 1 crop anyway. And this, there might be something slightly similar in this. Legacy Link's just the best horse out of these by quite a way. Proper Group 1 filly with certainly a group of fillies that aren't Group 1 quality yet. The Ribblesdale's a sort of race where you bring on horses that are long-term going to be that level.
Yep.
But the only thing, I mean, I think on form she's a very good price at 13-8. It's just whether 13 days is a quick turnaround and whether she gets in a bit of trouble from one, they are absolutely the angles that I hate to bet on the back of.
Yeah.
You know, they're unknowable. I can't make any reasonable judgment call as to what that's worth. So I really struggle with it. But I hope she wins well because I think she's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, she like I said, she's... The Yorkshire Oaks was the obvious thing when I saw her at Epsom, but I'm really fancied her for the Oaks, and she's obviously got beaten by a good one. But again, it's sort of it's one of those things. It's maybe if she'd have been drawn slightly off the rail, I've just been stung before. Even if she gets caught for, I don't know, 100 yards, something else could have swept past her, and she gets a bit unlucky and gets done a short head or something. But I guess the only problem is if you're trying to take her on, Keels, from my perspective, is trying to work out what that might be.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, there are a couple, obviously. I thought that Earthshot for William Haggis was probably the most interesting because mm-hmm. she's still very inexperienced, but the form of that Goodwood listed second to Inishmore's, worked out nicely because the winner's been was third in the French Oaks on the other day. So she might go well. I think she'll stay. And who was the other one? Gilded Prize was the other very obvious one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, yeah, everyone, we keep saying about Graffard, you know, picking the right bullets to send over. And even though Darius was very weak, and we all said that he wasn't the right type for the race, he still finished third.
Ran well. The two-year-old filly ran well as well. They're not all going to win, are they? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
think Ray Efcott got done on the line.
I think Darius probably ran what he's capable of doing, given those circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, Graffard's run four horses so far. Ray Efcott got done on the line in the King Charles. Map of Stars bolted up. Darius ran really, really well in unsuitable conditions. So it's almost guaranteed that she's going to improve Gilda Price.
Yeah, she'll run a race, won't she?
There's a couple of interesting bits. I mean, one is Joanna Walsh, who admittedly got the run of the race last time at Leopardstown. But then when she went through the gears, she went from sort of half a length ahead to a length ahead to 2.5 to 3.5 and just kept going. So bearing in mind that Joseph O'Brien's already won the Oaks with a very similar type, I think she's a very much of interest. And it doesn't matter at all what the form of a Ballydoyle filly in this has, because they just always run well. I could tell you every winner of it that they've won this within the past sort of 10 years, and then I'd read you the form before they won it and you'd say, oh, right, I wouldn't have fancied that, and I don't think many of them did. So composing's got to be thrown in as well.
Yeah, true.
I'm trying to. You give me nothing to do. The horses are bigger prices. You're looking at me like
I'm just struggling.
Just yeah, I'll be honest.
There's more interesting races in my book. In fact, six of them tomorrow.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
You're just dying to get her beat from box one, aren't you?
Yeah, partly, and maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I'm trying too hard with that to a certain extent. But also partly, like, I was all over for the Oaks, and then she got. It's funny with horses like this, because when you do latch onto them, do you follow them every? Do you back them no matter what, or because it kind of gets frustrating when you really kind of start liking a horse, and then next time out, price is too short. Draws too poor, didn't expect her to come to this race. That's already three in the back of my mind where I'm thinking, I'll just let her win.
Yeah, I think possibly.
But, yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, thanks, right. Gents.
Yeah. Bored now, come on. Gold Cup, much better race.
Legacy Link likely wins, but not a better race for me, says Ian Sunderland. Earthshot was a little disappointed at Goodwood, but I think she's better than that. No one else on the chat cares either. All right, fair enough. Well, enjoy the Ribblesdale. The Gold Cup. One of the best races of the week normally, and we've got a decent lineup this year as well. And Scandinavia is bidding to become the brand new Ballydoyle stayer on the block at 13-8. But he's got to beat the ski goggles and the experience of Trawlerman at 7-2. Raheeb, who finally came good last time out at 9-2. The Globetrotter Al Riffer at 7-1, tough as teak Caballo de Mar at 9-1, Sweet William, who never runs a bad race, even when he sort of runs a bad race, is 16-1. Last year's Queen Vars winner is Karma's as well, coming back at 16-1, and Dubai Future, who sprung a surprise last time out, is 50-1. But Scandinavia 13-8 just keeps on winning, and again, you could say that about a lot of the Ballydoyle Gold Cup horses. They've got their quirks. You could pick holes in the form. You could say, well, yeah, but he made heavy weather of it. But they just keep winning.
It's not even the Ballydoyle ones. Stradivarius was exactly the same.
Yeah, true.
It's just staying races.
Yep.
It's just how staying races are won. Horses that can quicken, horses that really want it, despite being quite slow, are the horses that mop up these races and they win them consistently.
Yeah.
And that's why... That's the worry with Scandinavia. He keeps winning. There's a lot of horses in this race that have got his form or within a couple of pounds of it that are multiples of the price, that have come closer to showing their form under similar tests to this one, that are 3-4 times his price. He just keeps bloody winning.
He just keeps winning.
That's the thing, isn't it? But you know, but so does Trawlerman, to be fair. He won his last four. He's wearing ski goggles, sunglasses, whatever it is. You know, it's the first time in my life where I've been looking at a flat race and I'm looking at weather forecasts to see what time the sun is due to come out, because he's not allowed to wear them in the race.
Yeah.
And currently the forecast is it's still going to be cloudy, so he might be all right. But yeah, what a weird thing to have that light sensitivity that he's suddenly got at the age of eight.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I get it. I mean, I'm walking through London earlier on. It's hot. There's just a lot going on. I feel for him. But at the same time, if you were to say this horse has a light sensitivity, oh great, 4:15 in the middle of June.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What I want to know is how do you find that out?
Oh yeah.
How did they find this out?
He said it was something about where they put him in. Where they were trying to get him treated, and when they went somewhere where there was no light or low light, he seemed happier.
Right.
I think that was something they said in the story, I believe, something like that. So
I just struggled.
And then they put him in a stable where it was, you know, out of the way and out of sunlight, and again he was happier still. So
okay.
So that's it, you know. And okay.
But he's going to prefer down.
He's worked
tracks,
okay in goggles.
He's got.
Yeah, don't think he'll have a high head carriage. Really.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a weird one. But I mean, the one thing is, you know, they can't have been able to train him all season if he's had these issues, can they? Until they worked him out, and it is first time out.
And they've had
in a race over 2.5 miles.
And he's going to get a lift to the start. Is that right? But look, the thing is, I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? Because it's kind of put. He's 7-2. He's firming up in the betting. The money keeps coming for him.
Mm.
He's 8 years old
form.
Now.
He's got the best form. He's done it before, and he's got the best form.
Right, I'm simply not backing him.
Oh, I'm not backing him either.
I cannot. First time up at the age of 8, all these little issues that are funny in that, but you know, horse has novel problem.
Yeah.
Is not is what they boil down to.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not backing a horse that's got that behind them. No chance.
Not at 7-2. No.
Yeah. I mean, what if he turns in there straight and the sun comes out? Goes,
well, exactly. Yeah, you never know. Yeah. You just don't know. I don't know. Yeah, it
just
is a bit
of a puff of smoke. I am backing Al Riffer on the simple grounds that I think if Joseph O'Brien, who's absolutely massive of stage, if he can get him a state of trip, I think he'll win. I don't think any of the others, even Scandinavia, would be good enough to get within 11.5 of winning the Hong Kong Bars. He won an Irish Ledger last year by 4 lengths very easily. He returned this year over 2 mile. Flopped out of stalls, didn't get a clear run and was finishing strongly. Only just got beat by Cabrera de Mar. I've got to give him one chance. Now, he was 14s 2 days ago. He's already down to 8s. I think he might get shorter still. But he's just, you know, in terms of pure ability, he's probably still too big a price.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. And Joseph O'Brien again, isn't it?
Yeah, he's just good, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, and he's absolutely flying, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's won. Yeah, he's won the Windsor Castle. He's won the.
And he's got a magician on top as well.
He's got a magician on top who's riding with, you know, with insane amounts of confidence, especially for a jockey who's about the same age as Trawlerman as well. I mean, he just Dylan Brown. He's just unbelievable.
It only seems like yesterday that Frankie Dettori was dragging him over the coals for being some upstart that got in his way.
Yeah, exactly. And now he's just.
And he wasn't
him
in the wrong then either, was he?
Well, he wasn't. That was Dettori trying to pull rank on a young rider, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about a few of those, because there's a lot of people telling me that Rahib put it all together last time out and is the new kid on the block in the staying races. And I think he, I don't know, I'm going to lay him.
You're right, you pointed out that he just loves to hang. And
he just loves to hang, he loves to get beat. He does not
win as much the horse that as good as he's meant to be should.
Well, he finished ahead of Scandinavia at Ascot last year, but Scandinavia should have won that race.
Two others did as well, yeah. Like in their
and places. And he impeded Scandinavia twice as they came to the home straight as well. He hung against his rivals coming down the home straight at York, and then when they disappeared, he then hung against the rail as well. So it wasn't like he was just looking for company. He was just
hanging,
just being a bit of a so-and-so. I don't know. I don't like him, Keels.
I'm not a massive fan myself. I have to agree with you. I'd rather, you know, if I was having another bet in the race, I'd rather back Cabrera de Mar. I think she deserves a fair bit of love. Very consistent.
I'm on with Cabrera de Mar. He just keeps with the Gold Cup. With most of the time, I like when they've shown under similar-ish conditions. There's having to tough it out over 2.5 can be a little bit different. Mojo Star is about the only one I remember just stepping up from middle distances and immediately taking to it, and even he got beat. Despite probably being the best horse in the race.
Yeah.
So Cabrera de Mar, having won over 2.5 a group one at Longchamp, having done it in those French races so often. It's just he keeps getting nibbled at, so he's getting quite short now. But he was really attractive at 11-12-1, 9-1. I'm thinking, keep going like this, and you'll be your price.
He's getting towards his price, isn't he?
Your price soon. Yeah. Karmer's price has held up, and you know he has the class to finish second in good races at 1.5 miles, but it was a real test in last year's Queen's Vase when he won it. And yeah, maybe he took advantage of the circumstances a little, but he showed he really can dig in. He looks like an improved horse this year, and he's a very big price.
Yeah.
It's one of these races, another one of these races, that on the figures is way, way, way more open than the odds suggest.
Yeah.
But a bit like Blue Bolt today, Scandinavia will probably still win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the figures were saying that in that race, and she hacked up.
Yeah, and like I said, the Scandinavia, it's the Goodwood run last year. It's for a 3-year-old to go and do that against genuine older, you know, the best in the grade at that time was a pretty spectacular thing. And then he's gone and won the Ledger, and then won twice since. I don't know. It's sure. The thing is, he's never going to win by far. Yeah. He's never going to. The only time he knocked your eyes out was at Newmarket, where I remember us being on here and go, "Well, if that probably wins the St Ledger," and I don't think any of us actually. Did you?
20s. I got straight after that race.
Oh well, fair enough then. Yeah,
thanks very much.
See, this is the problem is, so many times I'll talk about things like this and I'll sit here. It's the same with Iron Maximus for the National, where we had. I know you backed him. I know, and I sat there all winter thinking, "What a great opinion I've had," and I'm feeling really smug about myself. You know?
I've done it loads of times myself. I don't know. My favourite one was Rooster Booster. I was telling him in like the September before he won the Champion Hurdle, "This is going to win the Champion Hurdle." I think I ended up with a 10 or a 9 or 2.
It's a bit like there is a they did psychological studies of things. If people, like, for example, if they're going to run a marathon or they're going to go on a diet, if you go around telling everyone, I'm going on a diet next week. Mm. The praise from everyone will make you feel so good that you won't actually do it. That's the thing. Oh, that's a great opinion, and you just sit there and feel smug about it. To go back to Kamaya Damar before we move on, I disagree with it that he's getting to a short price. And this might sound daft, I would have him. I'd swap him and Rahib in the betting. Rahib is the up and comer who has only just put it together, whereas Kamaya Damar has been to Ascot twice. He's went all the way down the inside last year behind the Gosden horse, French Master, who came down the centre of the track, got the dream run and absolutely dotted up. He ground his way all the way down the rail that day. Him and Sweet William pulled miles clear in the Cigarro Stakes, and again, he was on the inside, and I hate to see ding-dong battle. Horse on the outside always comes out on top, especially down that Ascot Straight. We saw it today with Del Maro and Limestone. He's, a week and a half after that, he then goes to France and wins another Group 1. He's got course form. He stays. His yard are on fire. Murphy's in the saddle. It's basically roller all over again. I think he's going to run a blinder, isn't he?
I think he's going to run well, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it. If I was backing something else other than Al Riffer, it'd be in.
But then Scandinavia probably just win, yeah?
Exactly. Well, maybe that's why it's the race to get your swinger out.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a bit early for me, but
9 o'clock.
I like to wait till I get over, isn't it? maybe without the favourite? I don't know. Without the favourite market. So you're with Al Riffer.
I'm with Al Riffer. Give him a chance to stay.
You're with
Kamaya Damar up top, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement. I think Kamaya Damar, who's progressed from winning handicaps at Sudloth Marks in the mid-60s or low 70s or whatever to potentially win a Gold Cup. What a result that would be. Very quickly before we move on the chat, why is Sweet William doubled in price as Matthew Coppen? Because he's not wearing because his stablemate snicked his ski goggles, possibly. Sweet William's a big price, as Ian Sunderland. Agree, Sweet William's good value for Robble Drasher. So a lot of people on Sweet William. So there you go. And James Day says, Karma's is surely the one at the prices, Ross. Well, Mr. Melrose at least agrees with you to a certain extent on that. The Britannia, up next. 3-year-olds over the straight mile. What a race. Nightmare, too hard, possibly. But it's absolutely exceptional, as it always is. Organises 8-1, joint favourite with We're Gooses. Wetchard 9-1 with Jamestown. Outback Heat 10s. Moonfall is 10s. Flushing Meadows 12s. And Laureate Crown is at 12-1. You've got loads of others in with a chance as well. Blue Cavoisier and Langstone, who met each other in the Silver Bowl the other week. Exclusive code. I'll be waiting for him to run in this race. I need to see him get box three for ages. Pathin, who's running two really, really good races on his last couple of starts. Cresta Fire for Jack Shannon, who's got more to come. St. Anton's on a hat trick for Richard Hannon. Wide open stuff. And again, it's the win and you're off to Hong Kong handicap.
Off to Hong Kong, yeah, absolutely. It's a smashing race, and it's a shame that they always do go off to Hong Kong, because otherwise it would be like the King George V, and that they always end up being good horses.
Yeah.
You know, we've mentioned it, but that Crest of Fire is the one I picked out of that Carlisle race, the Silver Bowl. You know, I thought it was a good bit of form. It often is with this race in mind when it's at Haydock. I thought he got held up in his run shape pretty well, but you could have picked any of those three that finished in that race.
Arguably, Carlisle should be a better, I mean, it's, with the stiff finish, it should be a better prep for this, you would have thought.
In theory, yeah. I'll be interested to see how it works out.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. One that's not been mentioned that I'll just throw in very quickly is Conclave, who's got a really good pedigree. Dams are half-sister to Space Traveller. Run three times, two on the all-weather, which I like for a bit of Ascot form. And first time he won, second time he was miles clear with King's Trail in a pretty good time at Kempton. And, you know, since then he's just come out, won a little race on turf to get qualified for this. Mm-hmm. Been given 97, punchy enough, but you have finished second to King's Trail. That's running the Guineas and the Dante, so yeah. I guess that's to be expected. And he's drawn in 29, which, you know, hopefully... And, you know, all things being equal, that's generally the sort of place to be. Isn't, I mean...
Especially if 25 go over the other side.
Well, exactly, yeah. Races don't have magic stalls, but I think it's like 29's won this like a couple of times. So you can be dead high and win this. Yeah. It's not like the Holyrood House, where dead high never wins it. It tends to be middle to high. So, yeah, I just...
Well, I think part, again, it's a slightly different five furlong sprints, I guess. You've just got more time to bide your time, yes, and then get the gap and come down the rail over a mile, haven't you?
Yeah, whereas in a five, there's more of a tendency to just congregate up the middle a little and gun it.
Yeah.
Because it's fast and furious. But yeah, so I thought Conclave isn't getting picked up because he doesn't have these sexy form lines, but he's got his own sexy form line and his own excellent pedigree and a lot else going for him.
I've got one like that. It doesn't have the sexy form lines.
Yeah.
I back two. They both come from the same race at Goodwood, won by Catalyst, who I think is going to run a big race in the Jersey Stakes on Saturday. The first five home that day were drawn 2-5-3-15-1. In 15 was Wechad, and I thought that was really, really eye catching. So I backed him, but a little bit behind him in seventh was Richie's Rocket, who's a 33-1 shot, bit of a loon. But they obviously thought he was pretty good because he went off even money for a listed race first time out, and ran pretty well without looking straight forward, but then finished last to Talk of New York. It was obviously decent. After that he had his knackers off, and he went to a seven furlong handicap at Goodwood. He was drawn 16 and he dived straight to the rail from the off, so he lost a lot of ground. He was second last by then. He stayed on fairly strongly to finish seventh. I know he's not entirely straightforward, but I think he's got a fair amount of ability. I think he will like going up to a mile. Mm-hmm. He's by New Bay, who's had a winner of this in Perotto, a runner-up in this in New Endeavour, who was second to Docklands, and a winner of a Royal Hunt Cup in Jimi Hendrix. So there's a pedigree there as well. Yeah. I just think he'll run well at a big price.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you don't want to make too many excuses for horses, but that Lingfield race, the listed race, he missed the kick slightly. He basically went all the way down the inside rail. And again, I made a note for him. I think this looked like people will write him off after that. But
he needs to grow up. Lucky. But he is talented. He's got ability.
But I also thought he seemed to hate Newmarket. He got buzzed up before the start as well. Mm. They've gelded him, and then he's had no chance at Goodwood from the draw. So,
yeah, so
the last three are genuinely excusable.
Yeah.
And Rafe Beckett has a good record in these sort of races, obviously, as well. What's the second on your list, if there is?
Well, I thought that was
Christopher. Yeah.
I thought he shaped really well in that Carlisle race. They were my two again. I mean, that's sort of how I would tend to play it: two smallish bets against the field, knowing that they might run the race of their life and finish fifth.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what you're playing with in this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Win their side by three lengths, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, Weir Gooses is interesting, but I don't think he got home over the mile at Newmarket. I think, and then they won as far as they could last time out to get him into this race.
Mm.
I still don't think he's a miler, though.
No, and you've really got to get it, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. I thought, but I think he will run I think he'll come there swinging and not quite get home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the two on the list for me, one was been on the list since he won at Newbury, which is Exclusive Code, who, again, he's a blue point. He was sent off favourite behind Gowan at Newbury on debut and just looked raw and green. He was then sent off 9-2 behind Isaac Newton at Goodwood, who came from God knows where to win a listed race the other day over in Ireland. And then he just did enough at Newbury last time out in a 2,500 race, but every horse in the sort of first four or five behind him has found the form. And even then, if you go back even further. But what I liked is he pulled away again at the line over the mile. He was just figuring it out again. He's got Kieran Schumark, but he's drawn three. But if Kieran get, but he did that with Never Let Me Go last year. So
he can change, six
to gun it and five follow him, you might get away with it.
I mean, irrespective of the fact that Victorious won on the far side today, it was quite obvious that the faster ground was on the stand side, and you were told that by the going stick readings in the morning. In fact, the going stick readings suggest that the far side was even faster today than it was in relation to the. Sorry, the near side was even faster today than it was in relation to the far side yesterday.
Yeah.
By another 0.1. Now, at 8:30 in the morning, they're going to give an update. They're going to water again, aren't they? Because it's rapid ground out there. They're going to give a going stick reading, see what it says. Right, you know what I mean? If it's narrowed a little bit, you might find that they have more of a chance.
Yeah.
There will come a point, if they're all on the stand side all of tomorrow, which they were on the Thursday last year, there will come a point where all the prices of the horses drawn high will crash. And then, like last year, you'll end up with a couple of winners on the far side. There were winners from one and two. There were three races, four races on the straight track on the Friday last year, and three of them were won from stalls one and two.
Unfortunately, this race last year was 29, 30, 28,
yeah, exactly,
and 27.
Nobody wanted to go anywhere else. And judging on the evidence of today, that's exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah.
So but what you're saying is just check the winning side.
Well, just check the BHA website, and you know they will put water down on them, and they'll give you a going stick reading. If it says it's the same, then you can probably, you know, well, hopefully. I mean, the jockeys obviously don't read it, do they, after the Hope Cup today? But you know, you can get that in your head. You can say, well, it's going to still be the same.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, the other one I like is drawn 20, so maybe I'll just stick with Langstone, who still looked... I mean, he's won 2 7 furlong novice events.
He's at that Carlisle race as well, isn't he? He was second, yeah. Looked a bit green. He was the one that looked green. Christopher was the one that got hampered.
Yeah.
So
it's
funny to stick that Silver Bowl hasn't always worked out as a race of Britannia. I know that there was a Hughie Morrison thing that won both a few years ago. But the switch to Carlisle. Carlisle's a stiff track, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Is it Sagramore? Is that one?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought he was three wide. It was his handicap debut. He just didn't look like he knew quite. It felt to me like the horse almost thought, well, I know what to do here, I'll just go past them. And then he was like, oh, hang on a minute, this one in front's better than the ones I'm normally going past. And he just had to sort of learn on the job. So there you go. Good luck in the Britannia. It is, of course, despite what we've all said, too hard. welcome to Too Hard, brought to you by The Racing Post, where we go through the races and tell you which ones are too hard. The Hampton Court Stakes, over 10 furlongs, is next. The Group 3, where Endorsement is 2-1 favourite. Italy is 6-1. Oxygen 7s, Generic 7s, Morsley 7s, 8-1 Maho Bay, and bigger prices the rest. I didn't have this down as too hard, Keels. I just looked at it and thought, I don't have a huge opinion, and I'm hoping that you do.
I also have a massive opinion. I mean, Endorsement is quite obviously the one to beat. I mean, he's got form being close up behind both Christmas Day and James J. Baddock, first and third in the Derby. And he's won very, very easily last time from a stablemate, Amadeus Mozart. He's the one to beat. I'm going to give Maho Bay another chance. He was fourth in the Lingfield Derby trial. He that was won by Maltese Cross from Bay of Brilliance. They were second and fourth in the Derby.
Yep.
He hated the track. He was also running at a time when the Appleby horses weren't going well at all. He had this short price favourite for the Oaks trial that was beaten out of sight as well that day. So I'd give him another chance. He's by Dubarry, who's side three winners of this. So I think he's guaranteed to be a lot better than he was at Lingfield. I think he might beat most of the others. Whether he's good enough to beat Endorsement is another matter, but I'll give him a shot.
All right, okay, fair enough. The only one I slightly, I mean, again, we looked at My Love Is King, didn't we? But we didn't like the...
Well, I'm going to talk about him because I still think he's the one I'll be back because his price, he's 10s on there. I can see a bit of 12s here. I think that's twice the price he would be on form.
Yeah.
I don't like the cheap pieces, and that's why I'm not putting my laces through him at 12-1. But I'm still be backing him because you can't be put off to that extent by adding headgear. But it is a worry for sure. You know, it speaks for itself who he's been second to. He's been second to Maltese Cross by a neck. He's been second to Ancient Egypt. And that might have just been a run to get him qualified for handicaps partly, you know, because it's not even a handicap, but you're just getting experience in. Now, Maltese Cross is going to be, I think, the best horse to come out of the Derby, potentially.
I use cheek pieces quite a lot, the Gosdens.
But does it work?
15 winners from 143 runners first.
Yeah, that's why we don't like it, because we've got that instinct that it's not something to do.
I just don't like him in group races. I don't mind if it's like eking out a bit more in a novice or a handicap or something. But it's just, I just think there'll always be a better horse than you in a group race if you need cheap pieces to squeeze a bit extra out. There especially Royal Ascot, but that's what I normally
every do. Chance. And I do think he'd be an awful lot shorter if he'd been second to Ancient Egypt and then second to Maltese Cross, you know.
Yeah,
I think you need to swap that round. You turn the story on its head, and he's all of a sudden 8-9-1. The abilities, and that's why the cheap pieces worry me. Because to me, it looks like the ability is there. What are they seeing that I don't?
Yeah, fair. Well, I don't know. Like I said, it's ski goggles and cheap pieces in haptical. There's just a lot of headgear going around. Just a quick, Pretty Red said, Gosden said he would never run Oxygen on soft ground after Donny, and then he bolted at Newmarket, then he runs again on soft at Shanty. What do you think of that in the studio? And now, this is the thing, we've got a horse here at sort of 7-8-1 who finished sixth in the 2,000 guineas that has already been run to be an absolutely fantastic piece of form. Oxygen was 12, he's almost the same price today than he was for the guineas. Oxygen. They've changed it on there, but just take my word for it.
he did look good at one point, didn't he? I thought I'd give him a chance in the guineas. I thought that Craven, was it Craven he won?
Yeah, but I mean, apart from the first year, everything was beating miles in the guineas. They haven't even run handicap performances, have they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, just running something like in the 80s when you're finishing sixth. It's a long way.
So it's almost that the first couple were so good that the rest
it's
of them...
It's a long way behind. Talking about running on, did they say run him on soft ground at Shanty? No, it wasn't. Yeah, Timeful said it was good to firm. Yeah. I mean, the problem with your French brokers is they are the even less accurate than ours.
Well, it's different.
It's a different scale, and they are just completely wrong.
Yeah.
So, according to Timeful, it was good to firm.
What is the French going stick? Is that, I don't know what. I have to Google translate that, but
I don't know. God knows.
But anyway. We end things with the Buckingham Palace Stakes over 7 furlongs, where Cozy Bellow is 7-1, Blue Brother is 15-2, Mudbeer 8, Columbia 9-1, Dance in the Storm is 10-1, who will hopefully be pulled out after getting declared for the Wokingham if Paul Keighley has his way. 10-1 Mezcala, 12-1 The Wizard of Eye, Ellerac is also 12-1, and bigger prices the rest. Again, it's too hard.
It's too hard.
It's just way too hard. But let's have a crack at it anyway. And one person who loves races that are way too hard.
I like one here. I like Mezcala, and I've had a fair back, and he shortened a lot, but that's because Mr. Siegel's tipped him as well, unfortunately. But he was just in that lock-in day at Newbury. Everybody wanted to be on the stand side. Classic won the 1 mile handicap that day. He'd been second to Linwood in the race in which Rogue Diplomat had finished fifth. Yep. Like, you know, it was a really, really good race. He won this one. Mezcala was drawn one, so he was right in the middle of the track.
Yeah.
He was coming to win that. He was basically on trial for the Hunt Cup, but he needed a win to get a penalty to get in, and he just wasn't quite good enough. But it was an absolute cracking run. It really was from where he was. I think he's a massive improver. Yes, he's dropping down to 7 furlongs, but I don't think it's gonna bother him at all. His sire is expert. Oh, I remember him winning the Jersey by a mile.
Yeah.
Over 7 furlongs here. I think he's going to be a massive player. The other one I like Rule at the top of the market as well. I'm hoping, like I said, I hope Dancing Storm doesn't run. One because she's in two, and two because she's number 31 in the Wokingham, and I think she'd have a miles better chance in the Wokingham. Maximum field 28. I wonder whether they will declare her. And see what happens. Especially, I mean, you know, there's no harm in declaring her, seeing if she gets in.
Yeah.
And then gets a decent draw, they might think
she's number what? Sorry, have it.
She's number 31.
And how many can run?
28.
But it's not declared yet, so
And to be fair, literally every other meeting in the world, you think, oh, she'll get in.
Yeah.
But just Royal Ascot.
They may have no intention whatsoever. I mean, Blue Brother would have run in the Hunt Cup if it had got in.
Yeah.
But he's here instead. Now, if you remember, last year, night before the Hunt Cup, he was 40-1, and I think he went off about nines.
Yeah.
And he got no sort of run whatsoever, and he basically hasn't been seen since. So, been laid out for it. Obviously, Cozy Bellow won despite getting, you know, in himself in trouble at Haydock last time. They're all ones I like, but I come down to the fact that I think Mezcala is a massively improving four-year-old.
All right, Mezcala. Blueberry, of course, in first-time sunglasses.
first time wayfarers.
What are you liking the last?
Again, it's too hard, but I'm going to throw in one that maybe won't get mentioned. Otherwise, horse that's got loads and loads of Ascot form is drawn on the higher sides. Yeah, it's Great Acclaim, who has run.
I'm a big fan of Great Acclaim.
Yeah, run three times over 7 furlongs here, finished 2nd of 20, 4th of 15, and 2nd of 28. That one being Victoria Cup recently, and the run before that had been beaten half a length by Cosabello at Haydock. You know, mark of 100 probably puts people off a bit, because that means probably listed class in order to win this, but he doesn't
but
have,
you
to,
have
be
to be, don't you? To
pretty
be,
much, so. But also maybe he's only listed class right here. Maybe he's only listed class over 7F at Ascot. How many specialist 7 furlong Ascot horses have we seen down the years?
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, exactly.
Vaffertino's another one with Christoph Sumi on him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's too hard, but I'll throw him in. I'll look for my umpteen places each way and try and get a wee bit back off that, because he's a big price, he's about 18 to 1.
Okay. And again, I mean, I do think River King is a listed slash group horse in a handicap. And the problem is, he's run over 10 furlongs, he's run over a mile last time out, he's down to 7 here, and he's drawn 14. But he's just clearly taken a while to come to hand, because he was just behind Remus at Donny last year. And then I thought he was a certainty at Nottingham. I thought, bloody hell, he's been beaten 5 lengths by Excellent Believe, who's turned out to be a very, very good horse as well. And he was in third gear at Newbury last time out, and he won off 87 without breaking a sweat. So he's definitely better than 95. That still doesn't mean he's going to finish in the first four in the Buckingham Palace from box 14, does it? So, there you go. Right, that's Wednesday for you. Let's wrap it up with the nap and a big price each way selection from our panel. Starting off with you, Mr. Paul Keeley.
Oh, well, that'd be Golden Knight and Golden Knight then, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, you're going for both at the same?
That's a big price. Yeah, I just think the price is wrong, and it is a big price.
All right, fair enough. Keith?
If I go for Arco Lely, Harry Wilson might claim I've stolen it, because me and him talked about that horse quite extensively, and Harry might have even led the conversation.
He's not even in here. He's fine.
Fine. I'm going to go for Time for the Moon instead. Really quite like that performance, and just think that just the right horse for a Chesham.
But so, Arco Lely, that would qualify for your each way play, though?
It would, yeah. Also, Conclave would be the big place one I had in mind was Conclave.
All right.
In the Britannia.
Okay, fair enough. He's got a big pope. I think Caballo de Mar without Scandinavia. I think that probably will win the Gold Cup. I think Caballo de Mar is going to run an absolute stormer of a race. And in terms of big each race, River King's probably about the same price, isn't it? So, there you go, River King. Look, I don't know. It's what can I say?
It's too hard, isn't it?
It's too hard, yeah. And Caballo de Mar is the one tomorrow, although I do think he's got Norway of beating Scandinavia. And on that note, we'll say goodnight, like, subscribe, and see you tomorrow night. It's not...